It's a very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
So hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar. Oh,
that one in.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 980.
What day is it, dude?
What day? Oh, is it Tuesday?
It's Chewy Tuesday.
I've forgotten.
Mate, this show is like we're doing it from an elderly person's home.
Yeah, it's surprised every time.
They're so pumped it's bingo, but they know it's bingo. Like every Thursday's bingo.
But we forget. I forget. Could I get the Jelly Belly, please?
Let's go two today.
Okay, Jelly Belly, pass, please.
Okay.
This has a watermelon. It's the watermelon naturally and artificially flavored. Yeah. Why not have both? Sugar-free gum. Can I just say, in Melbourne, handshaking's back in.
Oh, mate, hugging. It's all there.
I feel like this is what it must be like, what it feels like for people who have casual sex who don't use a condom. Don't you think? Like, it feels a bit naughty. Do you agree or no?
Yeah, I can speak from experience, but it's real naughty. And you're dodging a bullet. Uh-huh. How's your, I can smell. We're like 2 meters away from each other. 1.8 to be precise. Our desk is 1.8. I can smell it from here, dude.
That's the chewing gum.
The watermelon
five
gum.
5 calories. It's good. It's a...
worth the 5 calories. That's what we need to work out.
Yeah. I mean, even if you spit it out, 5 cows? Yes, so. No one's swallowing it. It's made in USA.
No, that is a great point. Because we can... You're not chewing it to completion. Like, you don't chew it until there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. You're chewing it. So, the sugar would break down and then go into the system.
Sugar.
But how many sugar-free? But then where's the calories? How do you get this? I mean, my son would swallow this. It's the alcohol. 2 grams of alcohol. How many there's the per gram of alcohol, there's a calorie amount. I learned that in my PT days, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll try one. It's many people watching the Matt D'Avella video that we're in, his latest one, blown away that we're close to each other.
Yeah.
Americans tend to be blown away that we're close to each other. I tell you what's nice though, having that freedom, being able to be near people. We had some friends over, some neighbors over on Sunday night, and we had a campfire at the backyard, bonfire. And there was some nice bonfire banter.
Oh, yeah. How many people around the fire?
48.
How many, really?
No, there was 4 adults, 2 children.
Okay.
But 6. Our kid, their kid, we got some pizzas.
That's nice.
It's really nice. It's really nice. Got the big
marshmallows?
Got a share. No marshmallows.
Why?
Should have. Forgot marshmallows.
Okay.
And it was kind of impromptu. Like, it. Bodhi keeps up with this... 7-year-old.
Wow.
So, Bodhi's 4, just turned 4, but he's got the go of a 7-year-old, a firecracker 7-year-old. And so, they're a good combo.
What do they do?
Just play hard, imaginary games, monster trucks. They've both got the same monster truck that you bought.
They've both
got megalodons. And
any issues with the remotes?
Nah.
Interfering?
Nah, no, not at all. But they go hard.
Did you worry about that?
No, I just worry. Bodhi sort of gets a bit bored of stuff and just throws the controller down or like he's not connecting. I mean, it's like flying a drone. A 4-year-old flying a drone, would you trust him?
I don't trust you with it, let alone a 4-year-old.
I mean, I'm the one who hasn't crushed it.
What are you looking at on your phone?
Oh, I'm getting up some of this banter. So, the banter around the fire, bonfire banter. This was great. We're talking about kids that don't eat vegetables. Were you one of them?
I was a potato family.
Well, do
Mum
we call
potatoes? No, it's not
a
really
vegetable.
Vegetable.
Like when you think veggie, you're thinking healthy.
Yeah.
Potato is just, you know, if you got called a potato, not good. If you got called a broccoli, not that offensive.
Yeah. I lost a bunch of weight as a kid just eating Caesar salads. Just a light dressing. So, that gives you a sense of where I was at. It was more about the croutons than it was about the-
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, there was a piece of information dropped around the bonfire that I hadn't fact-checked, but I fucking loved it. And it was that there's an evolutionary reason as to why children don't like green vegetables.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And so she kind of went into this and I was like, fucking, I hope this is true. This is amazing.
It sounds like one of those facts that you'd read in the book, Why Men Have Nipples.
Is there a book?
Yeah. I own it.
You have that.
Mm-hmm.
Why do men have nipples?
I believe.
Can you look it up? Can you look it up?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's just, I think we all start as women when we're being made up.
Yeah. I think I have heard of something like that about when you're looking at the womb.
Scans.
Looking at the scan.
Mm-hmm. Don't know if that's,
I mean,
I think that's got something to do with the nipple. So it's sort of, Anyway.
Interesting. So throughout human evolution, plants have been essential to human existence. The study says that defense and survival mechanisms teaching humans not to grab dangerous plants could be why children are reluctant to eat leafy green vegetables. So, when you're out in the wild, there's all these appealing green things. The thing about being in the wild, you don't know what to eat. Poison berries, berries. I'm blown away. I tell you who would know? Leveson.
Yeah.
The explorer. He would know what berries you could eat, what you couldn't.
Tristan would as well.
Who's Tristan?
The how to read water guy. Tristan, I saw that Leveson and Tristan follow each other on social media.
Oh, yeah. Bear Grylls knows. Mm-hmm. Who else? What was his name? Back in the day, I used to have his VHS tapes.
Not Steve Irwin.
Bush Tucker Man. Bush Tucker Man.
I mean, I feel like such a top dog when I just pick basil or mint out of our garden and I eat it. It feels like a real top dog move.
On your food?
Just like pick it up and eat it.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you've never done that?
Basil. Well, I would eat basil. Basil's nice. What's the other one you have?
Mint. It's great. They grow quite rapidly. It's great.
Dude, I've never been more annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite petty to be annoyed of. But when you get a mint ice cream and it's real mint.
Yeah.
You want that fake mint.
Yeah,
in lollies.
What are the flavors that taste better in the fake form?
Yeah.
Banana?
Yeah. I love a nasty banana.
What about
banana?
Apple, like a natural confectionery company or even, if you want to go real naughty, what happened to Starburst? Like Starburst were-
Still around.
But that was a big, like I remember when I discovered Starburst lollies as a kid.
Yeah.
You'd have the chewy ones where you actually have to unwrap them.
They're still available. The thing. I haven't had a Starburst that's open for
me. But don't you think, so Starburst have like jelly versions as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I just feel like there was a real moment where I discovered Starburst and it was a lot of like the ads were very much sort of like you chew it and then your mouth explodes. I just remember that. But they had a very green, apple-y sort of one and I love the taste of fake apple.
Yeah.
Anything else that's what about heaven?
What's heaven?
Blue heaven.
Oh, blue heaven.
Blue heaven, yeah.
What's that's the
milkshake.
Is that not the con of like it being another flavor? You know, all paddle pops
a caramel.
Paddle pop rainbow is caramel.
Yeah.
So isn't that
should they just call blue heaven asthma?
Yeah.
Because anything blue gives you asthma.
Red velvet cake?
Mm-hmm.
You know what cake that is?
What do you mean?
Do you know what cake that is? Do you know what actual flavor that is?
It's got cream cheese on top.
Yeah, it's got cream cheese on top, but I'm pretty sure it's just a chocolate cake dyed.
Really? Yeah, well, that's outrageous.
So, Amy makes them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a lot of dye in that.
Okay.
And so, that's
almost not worth having the red and just having sort of your classic chocolate.
Well, now, there's something about the red look. Red velvet cake. You would have been in New York or LA when you were trying to get some red velvet. Do you remember when it came out? It's like 2012, 2011.
You think red velvet?
No. Not when it came out, but when it was really popular.
Mm-hmm.
You'd try and go, like there was a few cake shops that were known. There's a red velvet cupcake shop in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the place to go in East Village or something like that. And so, it's not that in my mind, it came out in 2012. Of course, it's fucking, it's chocolate cake dyed.
No, do you know what 2012 it was? It was Froyo in 2012.
Pinkberry,
that was huge. Yeah.
And then it made its way to, when I was feeling a bit depressed the other week, I went to I went to, what's it called?
A cookie place.
Not that depressed. Froyo.
Okay.
The Froyo place in Melbourne. Yochi.
That's not depressed. That's looking after yourself.
Well, it's masking depression. Mm-hmm. Like if you're seen walking out of the Cheesecake Factory with a whole...
What did you... Or Cheesecake Shop here in
Cheesecake Melbourne. Shop. Yeah. Walking out with a whole cheesecake for yourself.
Yeah. Bree and I have done that before.
Call for help.
We got a half-half.
Yeah, I know.
Just and smashed it. That was not a good time in our lives.
But I went there.
Or a really good time.
I went there and I... it was nice. It's in Hawthorne and it was pumping. It was absolutely heaving for like a Thursday night. And I was probably
was
like...
Was it Yochi?
Yochi, yeah. It's like 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in and this COVID protocol... I mean, it's like they've got it down to a T. You got to wash your hands, like sanitize your hands, mm-hmm. walk up, get it going. And they fucking pulled me up. I got called out.
Yeah,
so I'm filling up my stuff. Like I'm laughing at the kid who had his mum's credit card, who's filled he's filled his thing up with about a kilo of the frozen yogurt before you do the toppings.
Oh, no.
And we all know that that's going to be $74.50
toppings is normally the scam. So it's normally like you're heavy. You want to go for the lighter things. You don't want to, you're better off getting a packet of Tim Tams than you are putting a Tim Tam. If you put a Tim Tam, that Tim Tam is costing you $7.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's all by weight. And so anyway, I filled up and I grabbed one of these little things off my own Yochi. I put it in my mouth and I like fumbled a bit and the woman was watching me and I had my AirPods in. Because, you know, when you're kind of like a bit down, you just fucking want to drown out the world and listen to, you know,
podcasts. Oh, this is
some music
really
and get some
sad.
Fucking ice cream. You don't want to talk to people at that point.
Yeah.
So, I didn't want to talk to anyone.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm...
Or do the right thing.
And I'm like, what? So, I didn't hear what she said, but she said something to me. And then she's like, can you go wash your hands over there and come back? Basically, he's just telling me to go sanitize because I touched my mouth.
Oh, no.
Which is good. There's good sanitization practices.
But do you think that she was... Or was that her being passive-aggressive based on you eating some of the food?
Because it's like, you know, there's nothing more empowering when someone has done the wrong thing. Think about driving in the commute lane that you need to have more than one person in your car.
Express, yeah.
And the power you feel when you come up behind that car and you're fucking just seeing that one solo driver in the commute lane.
Yeah.
And you're just like, mate, just please. Yeah, and so you don't even need to be angry, but there's something passive about telling someone off when you're right. It's a bit smug.
Well, yeah, there's definitely, I think that you see that back in the day when we would fly and someone would be in the frequent flyers line, but like they're sort of waiting there, but they don't have the, they don't have status.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I always felt sort of self-conscious about the whole process of sort of moving in front of people.
Mm-mm.
But I, you can bet I did it.
Yeah. I mean, you felt powerful. Well, you felt like
I feel like if that is what you need to feel powerful, there's something.
No, I disagree with you. I think the only reason people fuck with status is it's in the name.
For the status.
Status. Your ability to go up first is playing into it.
Yes.
Status is it's power within that setting. Not saying you're not a guy who's looking for power.
Yeah, I love power. No, but it's a
The difference is when you think that you have the right to then tell off somebody who hasn't got what you have. Because then that's a bit of as if someone who flies first would give a fuck. They've got so much money that they like. They've actually disengaged from the plebs and they're fucking doing their thing. And I'm one of them.
But isn't it?
Not the first class guy, pleb.
But isn't so much of this relating to FOMO? So I think about it like I've never really been a guy that wants to own a house. But then you see people talking about it. It's like, you've got to get in. you've got to get in now. Our client has a great podcast, The Numbers Game. A hot accountant. He's on there. Definitely go check it out. And they're talking about getting a house.
Mm.
And I feel like I get a bit of FOMO where I'm like, hang on, I didn't care about this, but now all of a sudden I sort of feel a bit on edge. Like, like maybe I should. Or, I mean, you're the guy that in the past 2 weeks has bought some crypto.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a guy that should be kicking himself that he didn't buy crypto, it's me. Because my best mate mm-hmm. had a crypto business. He had something called Bitcoin Easy. He's been buying Bitcoin since Bitcoin fucking 2011 maybe, 11. Anyway, he was buying it when it was 200, uh-huh. 800 bucks a coin, and he's bought plenty.
Yeah.
He won't tell me how many he's got. I always fucking rib him up. But the thing is, I should have bought it back then. And so, we were just out for lunch the other week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, mate, come on. Like, the thing is, he's so into it. He knows a lot about it mm-hmm. and he researches a shitload. Yeah. So, I'm the gronk that comes in saying, I want what you want, yeah. I want what you got. Yeah. Give me some of what you got.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, mate, would you give me a Bitcoin? Can you just kick us a few? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's never doing that. But I asked him what he would recommend and I've asked him a bunch of times. And he's so helpful, sends me links to people to follow, sends me links to information, sends me links to the right places to set up your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was just like, oh. I almost bought crypto. I don't know what I was going to buy. I literally had the website open in probably 2016, like doing it all. And then I was like, fuck it.
Yeah. But don't you think all these stories, like even when we start talking about investing, there's just so much dick swinging that happens that I just can't be.
Because I don't know if it's coming from the people that actually do this well.
But this is what I mean. Like it's... I'm constantly having conversations with people who don't have any money who are saying what you should do with your money. Isn't that like the classic thing?
I know. And so that's what I'm saying about my mate who's got crypto, uh-huh. lots of it. He's just a nerd for it. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's won or he's got ahead because he's actually in it for the long term. He's not planning on just palming it all and moving to fucking Spain.
But how do you learn, because we're talking about all different stuff and I'm asking about like tax and then we're talking about investing and I was like looking up about franking credits and like, you know, buying stocks overseas. But I catch myself when I talk about it, it's like we're all just making this shit up. Like, you know, there's some things that are true. There are some things that it's like it's good learning. But also, I just can't help but feel like an absolute wanker talking about this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, are you actually an investor until you've lost a bunch of cash? Because that's what you're saying. It's like punting, right? Mm-hmm. It's like my uncle, I remember him buying Telstra shares years ago and they tanked.
Yeah.
They tanked. And so, I'm sure he's made some other wise investments. He's a smart guy. But smart people also lose in this space.
Yeah.
And my mate who's got Bitcoin had them at 800 bucks, had them at 30 grand. They went back down, you know, like to very low and he's held them. And so, there's a bunch of people who will be in the surplus. They've gone so far ahead that they, like them losing isn't a huge deal. But it's also a part of the game. If you're investing, it will be part of the game. But I think I bought, so his tip was Polkadot. Polkadot. Polka because it's like Polka. Yeah. P-O-L-K-A. Polkadot is the little, you know, what you'd look for, dot. Anyway, I just bought 5.5 dot and they're cheap. But it's like, I'm just fucking around. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to fuck around. And as my mate says to me, don't invest anything that you're not okay with losing. Because
you can't bet the house.
Well.
Because you don't have
a house. Yeah, exactly. Mate, you can't take anything from me because I got nothing. It's liberating, dude.
Yeah,
but we've got a podcast studio, would we bet the podcast studio?
No, but this is the thing. Yeah, it's interesting because I think it is good to learn about stuff.
Yeah,
but you can get into the comparison. Like it's so tempting to how many people can relate to this? There's a news article site. There's a news article, and it's how much superannuation you should have.
Oh, yeah.
And you look at how much you're meant to have.
It's based on age brackets. Yeah. It's based on many things, right?
And then so you go in and you compare and you're like, oh, shit, I'm short or I've got more. And so there is an element, I feel like human nature you just don't want to be doing the worst.
Well, it's nice to, well, you're blending in if you're not, mm-hmm. if you're not doing the worst mm-hmm. or you're not doing the best. To stand out, it comes with a lot of pressure,
mm-hmm.
a lot of, in Hell Yes or No mm-hmm. by
Derek Sivers.
Derek Sivers. He's talking about the exchange, like the, if you want to be famous, there's an exchange.
Yeah.
If you want to be rich, there's an exchange that you need to, like, it's probably not much time for anything else other than what you're trying to do. Athletes, look at that. And so, there is trade-offs.
Mm.
And so, being in the middle is the trade-off that you won't be, you know.
Well, yeah, where I've
is
landed
it hiding?
With it,
is that well, hiding?
This is the thing. So, I was thinking about it. It's like, okay, if you don't do anything about your finances, that seems like you're just putting your head in the sand. And so, there is a version, but then I'm like, I don't want to get into the hype. So, where I've landed is in the index funds, the ETF stuff, where it's like you are buying into a bunch of companies with a single stock. And then the idea is you hold it for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. And there's smart people looking after all of the
yeah, so
other
you have,
side.
You have the index funds or whatever that like the funds are managing it all. So, you yeah. pay a small, you know, 0.4% or whatever. Yeah.
And you know what, though? And just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not into your finances and your 30s or 40s,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a time that you almost, like I look at my parents, they are probably being responsible
mm-hmm.
with their retirement and the money that they've been able to make over their life. But it requires energy towards it because unless you've just somehow made so much money that you're just retiring, not thinking about retirement,
mm-hmm.
if there comes a time where you will have to think about retirement, I'm not there yet. You're not there mm-hmm. yet. That's why we make silly decisions and take our risks.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time it comes around that you're considering what's in your super, because you need to understand how much you have and do you need to be on the pension and is it a mix of the pension and superannuation that we'll be pulling? It's all a bit scary, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it is emotive. Money is such an emotive topic because it like you said, your relationship with houses,
mm-hmm.
which is money, you know, it's attached to making money and having the money to pay it down, and people's relationship with debt, not wanting to buy a house, it's too scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's so
living within your means, because then you have, you know, like if you want to buy, most people can't afford where they want to live, and so then it becomes this whole thing around investing.
Oh, but a mate told me about rent vesting.
Yeah.
Well, you buy, what is it? You rent where you want to live.
Mm-hmm.
You buy
where you can afford. Which makes sense. Like the thing is, I-
lifestyle.
Yeah, it's interesting. When it comes to retirement, so in Australia, we have super where, you know, there's, what's the percentage again?
With 9% right now, it's going to get up to 12.5%.
Yeah.
And
so,
ads.
In the US, they have the 401k.
Which it's not mandatory.
No.
So there's
so you have to sort of set it up yourself,
which is
and
sad
all that
because
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. the bonus of superannuation is you're forced if your
mm-hmm.
employers are forced to pay it, which is good,
yeah,
because then it's forced savings, but you can't access it.
But the thing of like I can't even think about like I know retirement mm-hmm. is part of it.
Retirement is an age because it's just if we're talking yeah. and what I'm talking about is retirement connecting to your super.
Mm-hmm.
You can access that money from 65. But then, and so you can, like my mum still works,
mm-hmm.
but also is gets the pension based on her age and, mm-hmm. and it's all based on your income to the changes, the rate, like the amount of your pension. It's kind of like yeah. that's her life position mm-hmm. where she's thinking about that.
I just want
well, you're not there. We're
yeah,
not there.
But I would prefer to, at the age of 40, have options where it's like, okay, maybe I could do this or do that. Rather than, like, I think that's, and especially reading 4-Hour Work Week back in the day, that was the whole thing, which is like, why work your ass off until you are sick and old and then retire and travel? Why not do that in your prime when you can, you know, you still have your physical health?
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's interesting. It's like every day you're getting closer to the end.
But
which
then
is
you look
why,
at
like, how important health is
mm-hmm.
as you get older, and it's more important as you are getting older.
Well, I was
it's
even thinking.
Important.
I was thinking, thinking about finances and saying, okay, I'm putting in this money into something, I'm going to hold it for a long period of time, it does get me actually thinking about health and things like that. Because all of a sudden, if you're doing something that is only going to serve you in 15 years, it does sort of change your perspective a little bit. It's like, okay, well, maybe I should also make sure that I'm like eating a bit better, well, which is sort of weird.
I mean, think about wills. Mm-hmm. And then you got life insurance for your
family.
Do
you have a will?
No, not yet. Mm-hmm.
Still need to fucking do my ambulance thing. I'll do that after this.
2 days later. See how far we get.
No, actually not.
Very simple to do.
I literally just have to click on it and then just put in my bank details.
Yeah, yeah. All scary topics. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you'll be fucking 50 tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, you won't be. In one universe, you might be. But it feels like that.
Yeah.
It feels like yesterday I was 21, dude. Now I'm fucking 32.
But then also think about, like, when you're investing, all of a sudden you're in this mindset where it's like, okay, where will Apple, Facebook, Google, like, where will these companies be in 15 years? And then, like, I go through this, like, crisis where I'm like, maybe, like, everything's different. And then I think about war. And then before you know it, I'm reading an article about South China Sea and I'm getting really scared.
It's a hot topic at the moment.
Yeah.
What is going on there? Do you know anything?
There's a bit of pressure starting to mount.
Okay.
I don't know enough to really go into it. But all I know is we should be scared.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because fear is the fuel of life.
Who said that?
I didn't.
Josh Chance.
Yeah. George.
He's going to quote that. Yeah. Fear is the fuel of life. Or it's false evidence appearing real.
Think about how much, how often you are in a state of fear or that you're making decisions based on fear.
I think it's hard to necessarily know that you're making them based on fear other than...
Well, FOMO is literally fear of missing out. Fear. So, anything that's FOMO related.
Well, if you were to look at fear, it's thought. It's your mind thinking about stuff, whether it's what could happen, what has happened previously, or it's processing what is about to happen. So, it's like real time. So, like real fear when you're on the edge of a plane and the doors come off and it's a flight to Sydney and you're not you're not doing skydiving and shit has hit the fan. Mm-hmm. That's like, so you can find the moments in life that are, they're warranting fear. Mm-hmm. Someone pulls a knife on you in a street. Fear. Yeah. Makes sense. All the information's there for you to go, I'm fucking in trouble. But outside of that, it's all thinking about if a spider walks on me, it could bite me. So, even at that point, but even for people that have a fear of daddy long legs,
that's the spiders
that can't bite, but they look weird and freaky.
They're not bad.
Not bad at all. You could play with them. Mm-hmm. But so, technically, it is your mind thinking, constructing that panic, and then it's a visceral response that your body's having. There is some kind of chemical release. But you can be fearful at night, safe at home, closing your eyes and thinking about stuff that could happen.
Yeah.
And so, then it's like, at that point, for me, I love the understanding that I have, which I don't know how to necessarily work with it in its entirety, but understanding that it is just thought. So, you can empower it or you can pull the power from it when you are observing it as just thought.
Well, I think that was even like doing things like the investing stuff. I feel like you get into a state of like, oh, like you're making these big decisions or things are happening. But then if you then reframe it where I'm like, oh, I've got enough. Mm. I've actually gotten like in regards to from a life perspective, I have a roof over my head. I have food. I have all of the things like, and so that's like the, I think that it is so easy to fall into the trap of not having enough. And when you don't have enough, that's when the fear comes on, that's when it's like, well, what am I going to do? If I don't have enough, I need to do stuff. But then I think about what I want, and it's things like fulfillment and less stress. Like, it's not connected to those things that can be pushed upon us. And so, it's so easy. Like, the keeping up with the Joneses thing is so easy. But I've seen, like, heaps of friends who are really well off and successful, and they don't buy in to that culture. They don't buy the fancy cars. They don't do all that sort of stuff. And it's like, you have so many options when you choose not to play the game that is sometimes very tempting, because it's that's like culture. That's what society is sort of projecting.
Mm. And you can see that when you have nothing, there's limited options.
Yeah.
So it's where do you land?
But then also like cars. Like, I think about buying a Tesla. It's like, oh, when would I buy a Tesla? Like, and then I think about, it's like, you don't need, like, the car. And I even, our mate Jack Post bought a Tesla. I was talking to him about it. And he's like, oh, you just sort of get used to it. It just feels like driving your other car eventually. And so that's it. I felt that was interesting. Remember my torch. Remember how excited I was about the torch. Think about how
Jack's
much
used his Tesla more than you've used your torch. Don't compare.
Well, no, but think about how much.
Mate, I've bought stupid shit in my life and then forgot about it pretty quickly, but I was very convinced.
The torch was like such a big part of my life for like a month. I literally carried it everywhere that I went. It's like I haven't turned the torch on in like
a weird kid, dude. You're a weird kid.
So anyway, but like there's a lesson in that, isn't there? You think about the socks. So think about the excitement I had on my merino wool socks, and then you get them. I'm actually like, think about what it would have happened with the maple syrup.
Yeah.
I couldn't consume that amount of maple syrup.
Well, mate, I could have told you any of the things you've got excited about.
What about the yellow cups? Like the yellow cups, they're definitely serving. They're great.
They are.
But I feel that
when you sip out of them,
I do love the cups, actually.
Which there's some announcements coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's been a fun Chewy Tuesday.
I didn't have the second one extra. Did you?
No, I didn't. We'll take it out. Okay. This is
a
long-lasting flavor, and it's called Smooth Mint.
Okay.
Smells good. All right.
Oh, wow.
Love you guys.
Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys.
Bye.